It's in Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18. When Pharaoh lets the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, ready for battle. Today, as we start our journey of Lent, we're going to reflect on the start of the journey of the children of Israel out of captivity. And what an unexpected twist and turn they have right at the very beginning of this journey. God's rescued them from captivity. That whole process, all that went on, took such a long time. And it comes at the end of such a painful period. And they're just about to take their first steps to freedom, to a new life, and to the land which has been promised to them. And there are so many reasons why, when you look at the circumstances and who is involved, you might think that this would be a straightforward and a really easy journey for them to make. The route seems itself to be quite straightforward. Have a look at it on a map sometime. Traveling north from Egypt to Israel. Draw a line on a map. I'm not talking about literally going in an absolute straight line. It's not a Roman road we're trying to draw here, though it would have a Roman objective in what we come to think of later. But that road, just trying to take a reasonably sensible trip, is relatively simple. It's Egypt, up to the land we know of as Israel. And the route is fairly obvious, it's direct. It should be quite quick. And if you take that most direct route, you'd be there in no time. Job done. Add to that, this is God's plan. He knows where they're headed for. It's the destination that he has been talking about and preparing them for such a long time. The clue comes in the name. It's the promised land. It's not a surprise. It's what he knows is coming. Add to that, it comes at the end of hundreds of years of suffering, agony, of his people being kept in captivity, treated as slaves, beaten, crying out to God to do something, to act. And he has heard their cry. He knows all about it. And then add to that, that it is therefore his action. It's his timing, because it's his initiative, not Moses. Moses was just the person that he called on. He was the agent through which God achieved his objectives. But this is God who is at work. Put all those things together, surely they would arrive there in double quick time. And they can get on with this great life with God in a land that has been promised to them. A life of freedom, a life out of the desert into a land that is flowing with milk and honey, and it would be fantastic. So just get on with it and get there straight away, right? That's what you might think, but it's a different story that we read. How many Christians get frustrated because the straightforward life that they expect with God turns out to be anything but that? Turns out to be far less direct and involve all sorts of hardships along the way. going in some strange directions, perhaps, that you couldn't have imagined or even relevant before we arrive where we think we should be. And all of that, even though we invite his involvement. How many Christians really struggle with the direction that God appears to take us in? That's what we're going to be thinking about. What is that all about? For the children of Israel, the issue in this very first leg of their journey is the direction that they might be going in. Because in the straightforward, the direct route for them lies hostile territory. It's the land that the Philistines occupy. And here's the point. God knows better than the people of Israel. And God knows better than we do when it comes to us trying to work out what God might be doing with us and the direction he might be taking us in. God knew what they were going to be up against. He knew the challenges that they would face ahead. He knew their hearts, and he knew how they would respond as a result of all the challenges that they would face. He knew the temptations that they would have to quit and the decisions that would then come out of that. And he knew what they could endure and what they couldn't cope with. And he decides to take them the long way round via the Red Sea. What we look at in this passage in Exodus is that God took them on a journey that they could cope with and that they would learn from. Do you know, today we live in a society that is really unusual. It has changed so much, hasn't it? Especially in the last 20, 30 years or so. Technology has pushed us in a certain direction, and it has pushed society into a very fast-paced society. And so we struggle not to develop lifestyles that come with those expectations. We want instant communications, and we want instant solutions to whatever we're facing. We have the ability to send an email, make a phone call instantly, and we expect solutions to whatever we're going through to be forthcoming as a result. We look for efficiency of service so we can fit other things in, and we look for that to be cost effective. We want solutions to be straightforward, and we want them to be quick and direct. But in Exodus, we discover that the shortest route is not always the best. Let me read again. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Interesting. They're going ready for battle, but God leads them away from their enemies. God knows what the people can face. He knows the fickleness of the hearts. He would call his people a stiff-necked people. Not because this happened once, but repeatedly. They had the habit of fighting him, of working against him, wanting to do it their way, being arrogant and confident that they knew what was best and doing their own thing. And so they struggled and they opposed the plans and the things that God had for them. He knew how quickly they would be prompted to change their minds, to quit, even to the point of going back to the slavery that they'd been in previously. Because in the moment, that seemed a more comfortable option. And as I've said just a moment ago, they went out of Egypt ready for battle. So you'd think they were okay. But the battle they thought they were ready for, God knew they would not be ready for, because God knows their limitations. He knows what they can cope with and what they definitely wouldn't be able to cope with. Read on in the chapters that follow in Exodus, and we see not just years into their campaign, but not even weeks, but days into their journey, when it looks like water supplies are going to be scarce. Where is he going to get the water from? They start to object. They criticize. They complain. They become bitter. And they talk about being better off back in Egypt, where they were a broken people. Human beings are remarkable, aren't they, for wanting to feel comfortable now instead of being able to trust God and go on the journey with him to whatever he has for us. Isn't it also interesting that at the very start of this journey, this life that they're going to have with God, that would be transformational, that would create an entire nation for God. Isn't it interesting that at the start of that, he led them into a desert place? At the start of Jesus' ministry, before his ministry started, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into a desert place, into a wilderness, which would be a testing ground before he ever got on with that mission that was so important for God. So let's just stop again. Let's ask ourselves a question. Be honest. In your life's journey, as you head to whatever goals that you've set, they could be life goals, they could be family goals, they could be work goals, they could be retirement goals, they could be church goals. As you move towards them, does it seem that perhaps God is taking you the long way round? And perhaps all too frequently, through the desert place. If so, what has been your response to that? I want to encourage you, because if you recognize those times in your Christian walk with God, you're in good company. The children of Israel, Jesus, the ones that God loves with a passion, he invites, he leads to go through such places. So in your life, in your Christian life, in your church life, are there things that have not worked out as quickly, as directly as you might have expected? Then maybe in this Lent season, in this part of the journey, this is the moment to take stock. Let's get real with God again for a moment about just those things. I want to encourage you to close your eyes. Again, shut off everything around you. And as I speak these words, I invite you to pray them for yourself. Lord, I give you those expectations and hopes that have not been met. Is there something you know about me that I don't? The timing, challenges to come, obstacles I'd struggle with. Is there something you are doing in my life that I don't yet comprehend or appreciate? Lord God, as we work through Lent, Would you open my eyes? Would you teach me to trust you, even as we go the long way round? Amen.
Amen.
Let me read this passage again to you. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, ready for battle. Second point I want to make is God was doing something far more than getting them from A to B, from Egypt to the promised land. What he was doing was he was starting a journey with them. It was the journey with God that would be so critical, so influential, that is the transformational part. Isn't that what Christians so often struggle with? It was in this time, it was the journey along the way that God would be preparing them, prompting them, guiding them, testing them, teaching them. God was shaping them. Because that is the purpose of any journey with God. We call it a pilgrimage. That phrase, shaping them, is one that I've used a few times so far in the early part of this year. Because I recognize as we've gone into this strange new year, I just sense that God wants to remind us he's shaping us. We started, for example, at the beginning of this month, recognizing that one of the things that would be most helpful if we're serious about God shaping our lives is developing, is growing an attitude of humility. If you weren't here for that day, if it doesn't ring any bells, the first week of February, have a look. It's on the website. Listen to it. That shaping process is the purpose of the Christian life. And so many Christians really struggle to understand that's what our life is. It's the whole journey. God doesn't just want to get you from A to B, from salvation to eternity in one click of the fingers, by the quickest, easiest route. He invites you instead to join him in this life-shaping pilgrimage. You will almost all have heard, if not actually read, the book by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. And in the book, in Pilgrim's Progress, it's all about the main character called Christian and the journey that he is making as a follower of Jesus. And all the characters in the book that Christian comes into contact with are the attitudes, the hurts, the obstacles that he comes across, those things that test him, those things that need to be molded and changed and worked through in order for his life to have that meaning, to have that life of fullness that God intends for us, that Jesus offers. I came to bring you life in all its fullness. That's what the book is about. And if you have spiritual eyes, I'm encouraging you to develop this in Lent, then that's precisely what all of those incidents, obstacles, traumas, heartaches and joys that our lives are full of That's what they all amount to. These are the things that shape us, that mold us, that make us who we are. They are the pilgrimage through which we walk with God. And in those sometimes unexpected twists and turns, he reveals to us our frailties, our strengths. He gives us opportunities and he molds us, even if they're not comfortable, if we let him. I spent 4 to 5 years working in Africa. And all of that time was not easy. Financially, you could write it off as a complete disaster. I didn't have any income. I funded the whole thing myself. I had some help from some people to fund some certain practical things, but essentially I funded it. It was from my savings that I paid for African workers to help me do the trials that I was working on, because I believed it was the right thing to be doing. But I am today a product of those years of work, those experiences of surviving, of getting a dose of malaria, of coping with the corruption of officials, of trying to get things moved around within the country, of working with people with no education, of trying to trust God when the obstacles seem insurmountable. All those things come together. And I today am a consequence of what happened there. God was doing something here for the people of Israel. He was creating them into a nation. And the wilderness, the desert time, was the proving ground for all of that. I wonder whether you appreciate the importance of the Israelites' wilderness experiences to everything that comes in our Bibles. Daniel McGregor, who is an author, certainly did. And in a book called Holy Dark Places, he writes this: "It is impossible to overestimate the importance of the Israelites' wilderness experience to biblical history. The wilderness wandering was the formative experience for the Israelites, repeatedly referenced throughout scripture. From the time in the wilderness came the law, a way of worship, and a culture that was distinct from their neighbors." That's what God does when he's given the reins to lead us, and when he takes us on that journey that we might not expect to go where we think it might go. This week, I've been speaking to my nephew, and he has a very strong Christian faith and has been bringing God into his career. For 4 years, he's been working for a company under very, very painful, difficult circumstances at times. It's been really hard for him. He's been wondering where he's all going. In recent weeks, he's been so challenged that he's been looking at what might be another opportunity, and he saw something that looked perfect and it looked really good. So he approached it and he started looking at it. And one of the things he did for it is he started to read and realize that he needed a better CV that summed up his experiences, that make him much more than an employee, but more of a manager. And so he started to investigate that. And I spoke to him last night and asked him if he mind if I just shared this story with you. And he said, go for it. Because he felt God's hand so much in this situation. That job that seemed right didn't work out. But this week, something else came up. And it was something that was advertised on the internet. And it was an advert that was there for just a very short amount of time and then disappeared again. And so he applied for it. And he applied because in the previous thing that didn't work, he'd taken time to get himself this CV that might make a difference. And sure enough, he's ended up this week being given the post. And it's really exciting. And it's come from nowhere, but it's come from preparation that was done previously because of something that seemed to be going badly. Sometimes God takes us the long way round. What about you? What about those situations? We prayed, and if you're open and honest and you've given it to God, you've handed some of those things that you struggle with already this morning. Well, this is just the beginning, because this is the start of Lent and we're going to work our way through it. I wonder what else God might want to say to you as part of this learning, proving process. Are you willing to let God lead you through it? I pray that as we journey, we will recognize, if nothing else today, that God invites us to be on a pilgrimage and invites us to be molded and shaped and Christ-centered along the way. Let's have eyes that are open to what God is doing in our lives, even when it doesn't seem to be comfortable or make sense for us.